Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. Every week, we'll take you behind the scenes of street ministry, sharing stories from Salem and beyond, talking about faith in action, and exploring what it really looks like to love people who are often overlooked or forgotten. Matt Massera has dedicated his life to meeting people where they are and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Matt reminds us that no one is beyond hope. This is The Hope Dealer. Matt Massera.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I mean, it would be great. Can I just give a little backstory of what leads me to today?
Yeah, I think, for folks that aren't familiar with your story, often you are on the Newsmakers at Noon show, but this is The Hope Dealer. And of course, this is a Sunday show. So I think reintroducing yourself is a great idea.
Awesome. Well, my name is Matthew Massera, and life started off really difficult. My dad was, you know, a gang leader within the Latin Kings, and my mom, it was crazy because she actually worked for the state of Oregon. She had multiple master's degrees, and then even on that, I just can touch on it. Today would have been her 73rd birthday, but she just went home to be with the Lord a couple weeks ago. But it's amazing, I mean, testimony even that, like, she was with somebody like my dad for a reason, right? She worked for the state of Oregon, was a supervisor. But she's with this like active member of organized crime.
Yeah.
As one of the most ruthless Latino organized crime entities on the planet. And because they had a lot in common. So, you know, because they were both, you know, trapped in addiction, sin, you know, selfishness run amok is what, you know, their lives look like. And so I was born into that household. And some of my earliest memories were being tortured as a kid. Me and my brother, I had a twin brother. He's been with the Lord for a little over 22 years at this point because I lost him to the drug world, sin. You know, he got chemical psychosis and then took a sawed off 22 to the side of his head. 22 years ago, June 1st. So, I mean, that'll come up too here in just a little bit. But at 3 years old, we were tortured sexually by a grown man. And it doesn't make any sense that we physically survived. Our mom took us to the police station and he said, if you tell anybody, I'm going to kill your mom. And she has polio. So she's not going to be able to get away. And you're going to have to watch me kill your mom. And so we're terrified. We're just little kids, right? So this man tortured us, and it doesn't make any sense that we physically survived. And I don't need to get into all details of that. I mean, I've shared enough for people to realize that it was absolutely evil. It was sin against God and me and my brother. And, you know, that deduces it down to the truth. And about 5 years old, same thing, tortured in Monmouth by a couple grown men that were, you know, active members of an organized crime entity here. And they've been around for multiple decades. And then, you know, it wasn't that caused us to move out of that house. It was like when we came home one day and my mom, and then this table's just covered in cocaine. And so that was what caused us to then leave there, not that we were being tortured, right? And at 7 years old, we actually lived in a white house that's next to, used to be in the just parking lot of Broadway Commons. And it just was, it had some fruit trees in the back, multiple story house. And we were with this fella and he, you know, tortured us too. Like, you know, almost knocked me out, was attacking my brother. He was with my mom, threw me against the wall. We're just kids. He, you know, like we're not going to be, we can't, I'm a 7-year-old kid. I can't defend against a grown man. So we're on the ground. He hog ties us with duct tape and takes his dirty sock off from each one of his feet. We're laying there. All we have is our underwear on and he forces his sock into our mouth, duct tape, says, leave this like that. Right. So it's fascinating to me as I get older, and it was to me and my brother, that people are like, why are these kids so angry? Why do they push back against absolutely everything? Yeah, I'm not. I get to this place where nobody's hurting me like that again. And I'm totally fine with beating somebody to death. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I will feel no guilt and no sorrow. And so that is what cultivated and nurtured this hardened heart that was murderous. And at 11 years old, same thing. I get, you know, this person is beating on me. Ultimately, the cop showed up that time because he just splattered my nose, almost broke my back. And so never going to happen again. I become unspeakably violent. And at about 11 years old, you know, started drinking at 8, 11 years old, used crank for the first time and got stabbed for the first time and stabbed somebody. This kid, I'm involved in gang life. He stabbed me in the leg. I took the knife out of my leg and shoved it in his gut. And as soon as I seen the terror in his face, it was exhilarating. It was just like a hit of dope. Wow. And watching him run away in terror, and the further mm-hmm. away he got, the slower he got. And it was just so exciting to me. And so that's something else that, you know, that inevitably will harden your heart when you're committing these acts of violence. But to me, it was like, I just returned the favor. Mm. You know, I'm already involved in gang life. My dad, mm-hmm. we watched him do this stuff. We watched him murder somebody before we were 10 years old. And so these are just normal activities. And I share this kind of stuff all over. And they're like, dude, no, your life was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, but that wasn't there for me.
That's all you knew.
Yeah, it was foreign language to me when somebody would tell me they lived in a house and both their parents loved them. I said, are you serious? You know, and then when I experienced love for the first time, I'm like, something's not right here. You're going to hurt me really bad.
You didn't trust it?
No, because love always meant but if or when. And when for sure the people like in the household told you they loved you, they're going to hurt you. It's just a matter of how often and how terrible it is. And so... a lot of years, 27 years in the drug world, 14 knife wounds, couple gunshot wounds. And I just can be totally transparent because I am. I share this all over the world. Some of that stuff is self-inflicted. You know, I was feeding all kinds of addictions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm in a scenario outside of Sprague High School, and these people want to come get revenge against me and my brother for some drug deal that my dad... you know, ripped off these folks from this other, you know, Latino organized crime entity. So their kids come to get revenge for what our dad did. And they're going, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm sick of it. They're going to threaten me. So I pulled my buck knife out and I buried it in my own body. And I said, what do you think that means for you when you come at me? If I'm willing to do this to myself,
there's no
boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
For what's going to happen to you. Because for sure somebody's dying. You just got to choose which one of you gets to me first. And I'm going to hit you with that blade so many times before anybody else gets there. There's more than enough of you here for sure. I'm not going to win this. But somebody's dying with me. And I'm a kid.
Yeah. 11 at this time?
I'm like 13 years old.
13 now? Yeah.
I'm like 14 years old, in and out of the juvenile system. And that just continued 27 years in the drug world. My brother, he got saved in high school. So I went to kill another student in high school and got removed from the community. And, you know, they tried to get me on attempted assault in the second degree on a bunch of other people. But I wasn't trying to hurt those people because he kept pulling people in front of him. I was trying to kill the one guy. And, so I got removed from the community. My brother, he's going to Salem Heights Church. We were invited there in the early 90s, and mm-hmm. it was like a Matthew party, and he ended up getting saved. He ended up believing on the gospel. He ended up getting baptized. He ended up following Jesus, and then he's sharing with me, and I'm going, that is not for me. That's for somebody else. And I continued to I was an exceptionally hardened man, hardened heart. And so, stabbed a lot of people, committed a lot of acts of violence, manufactured and distributed a lot of poison with my dad. You know, especially after, you know, my brother passed away, and, just lots of crime. And, but then God, you know,
But God.
Yeah. And I'm in the middle of the planning and torture and murder of another human being after my brother dies. And this fella, Pastor Matt, that God continued to direct into my steps. You know, I go on this dry run and I'm torturing this guy. And this is just transparent. Like, I'm going to crush his teeth with vice grips down to the nerve one at a time while he's conscious because of what he said he was going to do. I heard him on the phone say what he wanted to do to my 5-year-old son. So he doesn't get that opportunity. And his body is going to give up due to the torture. I won't describe any of the other things that I was going to do to him, but that was one of the things I was really excited about, was crushing his teeth. And I did for a long time. I had this buddy, he was running with organized crime and funneling dope for them. And I had this bucket of teeth from other people.
Wow.
Because when I knock it out, it's my property.
Mm.
It's mine. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it. And I kept that bucket of tea as keepsakes for years. So, I mean, that sums up the evil guy. There's way more to that in between all of it, but I had people sharing the gospel, and eventually that moment I believed, and then things got really difficult because then I start to feel guilt over the sin that I'm committing.
Right.
And, but we're like 20 plus years down the road from that. And I've been walking closely with the Lord for over a decade. The ministry has been going on over 11 years, but for the first 10 years, you know, I ended up losing everything and ended up being homeless in this city. Had this moment where I had hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm spending it like water. And then I lose everything because of the sin, my sin. I had a sin problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the sole source of everything wrong. And there was only one answer, and people loved me enough to share that truth. And I got this life that is beyond what I can, I mean, my finite mind can't even completely comprehend it. And I get to share with other people where they can have the same victory. They can have a transformed heart, not behavior modification, but a heart transformation that comes when somebody believes on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation and the forgiveness of their own sins. And then the heart transformation inevitably changes the behaviors. So I'm not poisoning anybody's family members anymore. I'm not violent anymore. I'm none of these things that I just described. I'm now known as somebody who was once darkness, according to Ephesians. I'm not evil anymore. And I get to share with everybody that nobody's too far gone. So we're out in the streets. I get to be a part of a Christ-centered evangelism, go therefore make disciples ministry, Be Bold Street Ministries. I get to be on the leadership team for the Most Excellent Way, which is Christ-centered addictions victory. Mm-hmm. And God's, you know, a biblical view of addiction is anything that amounts to idolatry.
Yeah.
And there's an answer. There's a solution. It's the gospel. And then, you know, teaching people to follow Jesus Christ. So we get to reach the world, get to share with kiddos, get to share with, you know, just this year, if we were to go down the list, Sinaloa cartel members, Jalisco cartel members, Juarez cartel members, Tijuana cartel members, MS-13, Barrio de 18, Nuestro Familia, been able to share with law enforcement, been able to share with government officials, you know, at universities. And it's just amazing. And I actually love people. And that, to me,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me to actually love people. I know what love is. I 1 Corinthians 13 love people. Agape love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which includes holding people accountable, and I'm thankful for the people that did that and loved me enough to do that. You know?
Yeah, well, obviously that's the key, is loving you enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And being able to do that. Do you, you know, one of the goals, I think, for the show that we've talked about too, is to bring in people that have stories like that. I think for a lot of people listening, that's a shocking story to hear. And to hear your the heart transplant and how your life is completely different and completely changed. So talk to us. We got about, what, 8 minutes, I think, you know, a little bit of time to kind of go into what your goals are for the show. Mm. You're very transparent. You're very upfront. You don't hold anything back. That's one of the things we appreciate about you. And I think that that's also what makes you very effective out there.
Mm. Yeah. And it's just, I'm transparent because I know deception. I know manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, like I said before, I was the dean of the doctorate program for Manipuspeak and Trick Knowledge, teaching the teachers. But now it's all about transparency and honesty. Like, I'm an honest person. God hates lying lips for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the time for that is in the past. So I just come share the truth, just speak it openly and plainly, and then people navigate the truth from that point forward. But yeah, I mean, the goal is this, proclaim the gospel, boldly proclaim the gospel, and really share with people that nobody's too far gone. And just, you know, how we engage this community, this state, this nation, this world with the truth of God's word, you know, and we get to engage everybody. We're in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was built to be in the trenches.
And you were?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So the goal for the show, proclaim truth. Be a truth teller.
Absolutely, which this world sorely needs. And like you said, a lot of people are not going to go to the places that you go. And so I think we're trying to bring those stories here, because I think it's important for people to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. They hear a lot of whitewashing. They hear the media doesn't tell the truth. Half the time you don't even know if what you're seeing is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we pull the curtains back.
Yeah.
We don't withhold the truth. We don't omit pertinent information. We just speak the truth plainly. We show up with zero cleverly devised tales. It's all the truth. Like when we're out and engaging with people, like when we go down and we share with the cartels and you got a cartel member looking you in the face, you're in a war zone and they tell you, you know that you're risking your life coming down here to share this message with us. We knew that before we got on the plane. We already counted the cost and through the Holy Spirit have come to the conclusion that it's worth it. And then watch these folks start crying. After you talk about the love that God has for them when he sent his son and that they could be set free. You know, they could be made new. They could become a new creation, you know, and get a new heart.
And you're talking again, you listed off the drug, the gangs, the cartels, and most people would look at that and you're seeing facial tattoos and you're seeing the sort of the presence that they're putting to the world and might think, well, maybe really, and be questioning that, but that it's real.
It is real. Yeah. And they don't like, I mean, even the last trip we were down there this year, you know, three people were decapitated and their heads were placed strategically in different parts of the city, you know, while we were down there sharing, you know, and then one guy hogtied and thrown out of the back of some sort of vehicle, you know, just left in the middle of the road. And it's to make a point, you know, it's like even one of the pastors that we worked with down there, he says, they've already taken me in at gunpoint into my church and said, if you ever come into our neighborhood, if you ever come share with our people, we will come back here and kill you and your whole family. And we'll kill your family first. And then we're going to kill you. And so he listens because they will. And so God equipped us, created us, called us, commanded us, and commissioned us by way of his Holy Spirit, boldly, confidently, and courageously to go into those neighborhoods. Because the only hope for those folks, it is prison is going to change that, is the gospel. And then see those people say yes and watch God do what only he can do, but God, right? And then we get to share with kiddos and elementary schools. You know, and see them get saved in public schools.
Sure, and that's right here.
That's here. Yeah.
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 So how often are you engaging with kids?
All the time.
All the time?
Yeah. We just, this last week, were able to take and provide a bunch of needed food items for kids through the Barbara Roberts program.
Oh, yeah.
That are part of the, you know, the, it used to just be an expulsion program, the Structured Learning Center. And I was one of the students in that first program. So, yeah, we get to share with kiddos, youth, you know, at-risk youth. And we get to serve the housed community, the unhoused community, everybody. Hit the streets or everywhere.
Yeah. And again, telling the truth, because I have to say, when we started the program, you were talking about something. I mean, I physically winced at some of it. It's just, it is hard to hear, but I don't think you do anybody any favors by sugarcoating anything.
No.
Because the problems are very, very real. And there's a lot of tragedy and a lot of cruelty.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's many times where people go, it really comforted me that you just shared openly about those things. This is what's happened in my life. And it was always impressed on me to just be silent. You know, so it helps people give them a voice, find their voice in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, hey, share your testimony, like share what it was like, but then share the moment of salvation and then who you are now and what life looks like now. And that the gospel is available to everybody. But yeah, we do. I mean, and because if you look throughout scripture, you see what happens, right? And Paul, I mean, he's a murderer, Christian. He's hunting people down that are teaching the truth. Stephen, put your clothing here, kill that guy. And he's excited about it. And that's why like Titus 3:3-8, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward Matt, it says man, but I make it really personal because it is, appeared, he saved me, not by any works of righteousness that I've done, but according to his mercy. He's given me what I don't deserve, unmerited favor. And how do I can't keep it in. I got to share with everybody. So we get to share with the kiddos. We get to share with the old folks. We've had a 5-year-old come and serve in the ministry, and we've had a 93-year-old. So that's those like the paramount ends for people that have served and tons of people in between. But yeah, we're getting to share and serve with tons of folks. This year already over 750 plus people have come out and served in the ministry and more. is the narrative. I mean, we got our one of our larger evangelism events here this Saturday
okay.
in the parking lot at the UGM. So a bunch of the Body of Christ coming together, family from more than 40 fellowships all over Oregon, and then a couple from out of state are going to come together, converge in the center of a city that's not at peace.
No,
with
no,
their
no.
feet shod with the gospel of peace. And then we'll be a bunch of service providers. So yeah, I mean, there's so many things I could share, but.
Hey, you know, you got a show, and I think you're going to be able to share a lot. Mm. I think that's going to be part of the ministry as well, as reaching people who may not otherwise know any of this, but who also do see the problem and don't know what to do and don't know what the truth is.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of people in this city, into the thousands of people that are unrecognizable as the people we met on the streets.
Uh-huh.
And they are now working in different agencies. Some of them work for law enforcement. Some of them have started their own nonprofit entities, just ministries. And it's awesome. And it just was showing up changes everything.
So are a lot of these folks, as we're winding down this episode, are you being approached with people that want to come on the air and tell their stories? Are people eager to share?
There's a bunch of people that are really excited. You know, there's one fellow that's a part of the ministry, and he's retired 28 years of law enforcement, and he is really transparent. And he's like, I should have been locked up.
Yeah.
He's like, I was just as much a criminal as everybody else. I just never got arrested. Because he's like, I was law enforcement. And he's like, how impactful his story is, like when we're out in the midst of a bunch of criminals. And they're like, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, that's really encouraging to us. And the same price was paid for him, you know. And now he's walking closely with the Lord. He goes to Jefferson Baptist Church. His name is James. And so, yeah, he'll be on, and he's part of the core team. Yeah, so there's a bunch of people, too, that come out of stuff that's specifically happening here in Oregon. You know, Satanism and, lots of people that have come out of that stuff here and are walking with the Lord.
Remember, hope isn't found in circumstances. It isn't found in government, politics, or possessions. Real hope is found in Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. We'll see you next time as we continue sharing stories of lives changed through faith and the power of God's love. Until next time, be generous with your kindness, bold in your faith, and never stop dealing hope.